Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Kind of a busy week in professional wrestling, what with the draft looming beginning tonight on SmackDown. Injuries to report, unfortunately, more than a few. And more news on a sexual allegation lawsuit that could probably haunt the WWE and one of its competitors for a while. So let's start with the injury update. For the benefit of people who may not have seen NXT this week, Ridge Holland suffered what appears to be a serious knee injury. Pretty horrific to watch. And this is right in the middle of him obviously getting some sort of a major push, being involved with Undisputed Era in some way, shape, or form. And the early prognosis of this is, you know, 6 months or more, 5-6 months. So, truthfully, there's the end of that push. And you can't get much more unlucky than NXT. I mean, they put the belt on Karrion Kross. He's injured. He has to relinquish the belt. As we saw on TakeOver, Finn Balor injured, broke his jaw in two separate places. Now, initial reports seem to indicate that the jaw is indeed broken in two places, but not severely broken. In other words, like, cracked would be a better word. Not broken. Broken is when it's separated completely from the bone itself. Cracked is when it's kind of still together. It just has crack. So they're playing it up as it's a worse injury, I guess, than it actually is. But listen, to have your jaw cracked in two places is not fun. And it is going to keep him out of competition for a little while, probably a month. And you're talking about the champion. Now, maybe he can appear on television, but still in all. Mickie James now has reportedly been taken out with an injury. She just came back. And this has gotten me thinking, with all the injuries that's taking place, the curious thing is, it was probably a few years ago that the WWE fan base and fans in general, professional wrestling fans in general, started really getting down on hardcore wrestling. They started saying, you know, it's not safe. We don't like to see it. Somebody lands in barbed wire. Somebody goes, you know, into glass, or there's weapons being used, or they fall off something high. And it's really just too big of a risk to take. And it got me to thinking, when's the last time you saw someone terribly injured from something like that? And look how many injuries are coming from just plain wrestling matches. Now, I watched the Finn Balor match very carefully with Kyle O'Reilly, and it was definitely a hard-hitting match. That's the way they wanted it to be, and there's no bigger fan of that than me. That's the way professional wrestling should be. It shouldn't be a tippy-tap thing. You should be out there to compete and be understand that you're going to have to take a little punishment, and I get that. But at the end of the day, irregardless to what you say, if a man's jaw is broken in two places, somebody fucked up. Now, it's amazing how many fans I hear saying, well, you know, when you're just having a hard fought match like that, and it's, you know, really a sort of a half shoot, but you know, they know that's what's going to happen because they're laying it in each other. They have a lot of respect for each other and they want it to look great. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what hardcore wrestling does. There's no difference. So for the very same fans who say, well, this is an acceptable injury because they wanted to go balls to the wall. Okay. Well, a man's jaw's broken in two places. So if you don't consider that a screw up just because of the people who are in the ring, then I don't want to hear nothing more about Seth Rollins injuring people or somebody else being unsafe. Because at the end of the day, no matter how hard you agree, and I've been in matches where I agreed with people when we talked about it and said, let's really take it to each other. Okay, let's not play patty cake here. I didn't expect to have my jaw broken or a bone broken. Now, with the Ridge Holland injury, it's a little bit different. He tried to catch someone. He landed wrong. His knee buckled underneath him. And that's just bad form. See, there's many ways to be injured in a wrestling ring. You could be injured by your opponent. You could be injured by bad form. It could just be the fates where you slip off a buckle or you hit something wrong. But in this case, we have to understand that in less than a month, three NXT wrestlers have been seriously injured. Karrion Kross enough to take the belt away from him. Finn Balor with a double cracked jaw. And Ridge Holland out for a good long time. And this is just after getting some of their other guys back from injury. Mickie James is just coming back from injury in WWE. She's injured. And at the head of it, we have to ask ourselves, why all these injuries? Now, you cannot tell me that Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly are unsafe or that they're rookies and they just made a mistake. Ridge Holland, you could say that about. Can't say that about Finn Balor or Kyle O'Reilly. They were just going after each other and it happened. Well, in that same vein, this is why I'm telling fans, don't shit all over hardcore wrestling. I did hardcore wrestling for a good long time. And I can tell you I was never really seriously injured. Minor, abrasions, minor injuries, yes. I never had a bone broken. And the bottom line is you can do that just as safely, maybe more safely. See, this is what I'm trying to explain to people. I remember when Dean Ambrose had his big hardcore match there, and everyone was saying, we couldn't watch it. We were so worried someone was really going to get hurt, we couldn't watch it. Well, I got a newsflash for you. He had less chance of being injured in that match than Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor putting on a stiff match like that. Much less. Because when you're working at an extremely fast pace and you're targeting people's chins and their knees and everything else with kicks and that could fraction of a millimeter difference between hitting it solid and just tapping them. These things are bound to happen. So I find it a little bit hypocritical, Mike, and a little bit funny that fans will write in and say, we don't want to see hardcore wrestling because we don't want to see these wrestlers get injured. But the vast majority of injuries that are happening during just regular matches.
Right. And think about this, WWE has almost, not NXT, but the WWE has almost become a light working kind of federation, right? Where you expect almost no injuries to happen. Now, granted, sometimes injuries just happen, okay? You can't control everything. But you cannot be argued that it's become a light working federation and injuries still happen, And look, you're right. You look really throughout the time ECW was working, right? Can you name the amount of injuries? Yeah, you had times when you had, you threw down a thumbtack and you had to quit the match early because you had to get them off their backs or whatever, or you threw them through a plate glass window, glass, and you had glass in their backs, that type of stuff. But can you name the amount of injuries in those hardcore matches from ECW?
Well, see, that's just the thing. A lot of them were superficial. There were a lot of cuts, of course. There were a lot of bruises and sprains, but there weren't. I'm out for 6 months. Angel Garza just missed being out for a good long time. Could have been out for a very long time. Women's division in NXT has been plagued with injuries, as we know. And the bottom line of the situation is, these are all being done in matches that do not feature anything too risky or hardcore. They just have a very fast-paced and a more a stiff feel to them. So if you're a fan of a fast-paced, stiff match, I have newsflash for you. Your favorite wrestler is way, way, way more likely to be injured long-term than he is if he just gets hit in the head with a chair or gets put through a table or lands in some barbed wire or whatever the case may be. And that's just as simple as that. And it, the proof is in the pudding. I've just named you all these people who were injured. None of them were injured doing hardcore stuff. So it's really funny how this illusion works. It's really funny how the wrestling fans, oh, we don't want to see hardcore because somebody might get hurt, but we do want to see fast-paced, stiff matches like Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor, which was a great match. Don't get me wrong. It was a great match. And it certainly represents what you want out of wrestling. But at the end of the day, and I'm not blaming anyone, but at the end of the day, if you walk out of a wrestling match with Kyle O'Reilly having some superficial injuries and Finn Balor having a double broke jaw, somebody screwed up. It wasn't a perfect match. It was far from a perfect match. It was a match where both guys got injured. If you have a match and both guys get injured, it's not a successful match. Sorry. I don't care what your name is. I don't care how long you've been in the sport. I don't care how great the match was. If you walk out of that match and both guys say, I'm going to miss a few weeks, I'm going to miss a month, it's not a successful match. You screwed up somewhere, which means you either couldn't handle the pace, your timing was off, there was mistakes made, something happened. Because in a perfect wrestling match, no one gets hurt. Now, when I say hurt, I don't mean, ow, you know, a little bang here, a little bang there. Of course that's going to happen. It's going to happen every single match. I'm talking about hurt. Talking about I'm going to miss time. So Todd, you know, I think it's weird that wrestling fans somehow equate hardcore matches with injuries when in reality it looks like it's just about the opposite.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when I seen you did hardcore matches, you got hurt here and there, but no broken bones or anything. You would be able to move your arms, your legs. I could see you like moving your body and everything, and your legs and everything.
Yeah.
Minor injuries, like concussions or something like that. It's different.
So why do fans, in your opinion, think that hardcore wrestling equals more injuries when the proof is it doesn't?
To be honest with you, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, it just doesn't. Okay, folks, you're going to have to accept it. ECW, yes, all these wrestlers were banged up. And if you do it every night, see, that's another problem. If you do it every night, your body's going to get broke down real quick because it takes a terrible toll on your body. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, in the one match, your likelihood of being injured, long-term injured, missing a month or more, it's far less likely in a hardcore match where people are swinging ball bats and putting people through fire tables and landing in barbed wire. Much less likely to suffer a long-term injury than a match that's a real fast-paced, stiff match where both guys are really going at each other and, you know, trying to throw solid punches, not trying to hurt each other, but trying to throw solid kicks and solid whatever, because the pacing is so fast and your timing has to be so pinpoint accurate. Watch a hardcore match sometime. People take eons. They walk around slow as can be. That's why Terry Funk could do this when he was 65 years old. Because the pacing is so slow. Then you watch a match like Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor and you're like, the pacing is lightning and you don't have a lot of time in between to set yourself for the next move. You got to do it. And if one move happens to fall flat, well, somebody's injured. So now we have a situation where Finn Balor is injured. They say they're not taking the belt away from him. They don't think it's a serious enough injury and they can just work around it. That's code word for who the hell are we going to give it to now? Triple H has basically buried the Velveteen Dream by getting on a broadcast and basically saying the Velveteen Dream's immaturity inside and outside of the ring has cost him a lot in his career. Okay, well, then that is basically saying we feel he's guilty of the charges he was accused of. When your own company doesn't have faith in you. When your own company does not have faith in you, and as we've seen, Velveteen Dream dropped a match he would not have dropped to Kushida, you know, a year ago. When your own company has no faith in you, it's over. It's over. They're just not going to let him go because they don't want him to go to some company and light it up. So they're going to keep him, but he's not going to be a big deal. And it's a shame, really. And that kind of segues us into the next thing, which is more bad news for the WWE and Matt Riddle, who has found himself on the wrong end of a sexual abuse lawsuit by Candy Cartwright, the same girl who accused him before. She's filed it. Some people have said they've named WWE as one of the litigants. I can't see how that's possible. He was working in a training ground down in WWE, but now these new allegations include the following. That Matt Riddle not only, she admitted having an affair with him, a consensual affair. She admitted to knowing he was married. But she said she was uncomfortable in a certain atmosphere that they were in, and he still forced himself on her when she said, no, not here. Later, apparently, according to her lawsuit, Matt Riddle bragged about this to one of the trainers in that particular federation. You know which one it is. It's not NXT. It's a minor league federation that was a training ground for WWE. And I guess he's if this gets to court, I guess he's going to have to come on the stand. And they're going to ask him directly, did Matt Riddle tell you that he virtually forced this girl to have sex in front of people, where there were people present? And if he says, yeah, he did say something about that, he's done. He's done. Now, interestingly enough, Triple H isn't coming out saying, hey, Matt Riddle's immaturity is really costing him in his professional and career. So maybe they believe that this is an unfounded charge. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're a liar, let's say she's a liar. Let's say she's a woman scorned. Let's take Matt Riddle's scenario. I was having an affair with her. She thought I was going to leave my wife for her. I chose not to do that. She got upset, and now she's trying to get revenge on me. If that was the case, I don't know. How far do you take this? She's come out with the allegation. She's insisted they're true. Matt Riddle has filed a restraining order against her, and then he dropped it. He had to come out and admit that he was having an affair with her, and now she's still pressing forward. At some point, if you're lying, I could see if Matt Riddle was a political figure because you've got something to gain if you want the other side to win. You know what I mean? If Joe Biden or Donald Trump had an accuser, you could easily say, well, they're trying to sway an election. They could be lying just to try to sway an election, either side. What does she have to gain? Money? Her career is done now in wrestling. So she's lost that. I just don't see this. How much money could she possibly get? And at some point, you'd think she'd just cut her losses and say, well, you know, he's not coming back to me. I'm not getting him back. Screw him and move on if this wasn't true. So I'm starting now to lean a little bit in her favor because Matt Riddle, A, lied about it first and then admitted he lied. He said he didn't know her. had no idea who she was, then had to come out and say, yes, I do know who she is. Yes, I was having an affair, when pictures came out of them together. Then her friend comes out and says, well, you know, everybody knew they were having an affair. He brought her places, for God's sake. So I don't know how he thought he was going to get away with it. When you're that kind of a liar, when you literally know there's 100,000 people who know better and you still insist, nah, didn't know her, never seen her before in my life, you're delusional. You're absolutely delusional. So do I trust him when he says I didn't do this? No, I don't. Now, do I know for sure he did it? Of course I don't. But boy, she's insisting he did. And if Matt Riddle did, then his best move, if I was his lawyer, would be to say, I remember the incident. She did express some concern about the fact that there were people in the room. And did I press the issue? Maybe I did and said, oh, it's no big deal. Come on, come on, come on. But in the end, she still complied. She didn't, I didn't force her. I might have, you know, tried to convince her, but convincing is not forcing. You know, if you can't be on the diving board, you can't have somebody on a diving board and tell them, jump, it's okay. And, oh, no, no, I'm scared. Jump, it's okay. No, 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 I'm scared. Come on, it'll be fine. Oh, okay. And then they jump off the diving board. Then they can't say, you pushed me off the diving board. You forced me to jump. No, but that's not true. You convinced them. And in their own free will, they decided, all right, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe I will do it. That is a whole lot different than jumping up there and pushing them off. So when she says, I felt uncomfortable in that setting, and he forced me to do it, that means he physically grabbed me and I said no and he didn't care. It doesn't mean I said, oh, okay, I really don't want to, but okay. Because then that's still your free will. You know how many people don't want to do something? No, I don't really want to go to the dentist, but the dentist didn't force me to go. So I'm going to give him the benefit of that doubt. But if I'm his lawyer, that's what I'm telling him to say is, look, what she's considering force, we consider just he talked her into it. If you talk somebody into something, if I talk Mike into robbing a bank with me, and Mike says, well, he forced me to do it, and I say, well, did he pull a gun on you? No. Did he threaten your family? No. Well, what did he do? Well, he asked me, I said no, and he said, come on, you're going to be rich. And I said, I don't know. And I said, come on, and we'll never get caught. Okay. Well, that's not forcing him. That's convincing him. So I don't know, Mike. I mean, this it's up in the air, but until this is settled, Matt Riddle's career is on stall.
Right. And think about it. You know, we've talked about this before, about what happened in that car, all right, as they were traveling along, whatever. You know, why don't you have sex with me? Okay, no, it's dangerous. Okay, fine. Well, why don't you just, you know, give me a BJ, you know, a Bill Clinton, a Winston, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Okay. I don't want to do that either. Come on. It's not going to hurt you. Okay. I'll do it. That's not force. No, it's not. That's you convincing her. Okay. If you were to say, okay, no, I'm going to force you to. You're gonna have sex, or else I'm gonna let you out this car. That's force, all right.
Mm-hmm.
What he did in that car was not force. It was him convincing her to do it. I agree with your diving board assessment. You know, it's not like I'm on a diving board and you're running back behind me because you want to dive and you push me off. That's forcing
right.
me to go off the diving board.
Right.
You know, that's you wanting to go and. Me being in your way and you forcing me, you know. Whereas you're going, come on, die. Okay, I'll die. Okay, whatever, you know. That's right. What you said was right. So if she's basing this thing about what happened in that car, I see how she can win it because she actually agreed to do something, you know.
Right.
Something, you know.
Well, here's the problem. Number two, she's going to have a problem proving this. If it was oral sex they're talking about, it's very hard to force someone to have oral sex. It's not necessarily hard to hold someone down and actually have sexual intercourse with them if you're strong. It's very hard to force them to do that because you're in a very vulnerable position where someone could really do you some serious damage if they wanted to get away from you. Okay? So that's one thing. However, what Matt Riddle has going against him is if Matt Riddle walked into that training facility or that federation and bragged about, I got this girl, I sort of forced this girl to do this in the van or on the bus, whatever it was, he's in trouble. He's in big trouble. Because in today's society, what's going to happen is they're going to look at coercing as force. They're going to say, he was in position of power here. He was the big shot. She was an up-and-comer. She felt like, if I don't do this, he's going to blacklist me. He's going to get me whatever. I know how this is going to work. And that's exactly how it's going to work. Her lawyer is going to say, did he physically grab her by the head and say, I will kill you if you don't do this? No. But he made it very clear that if it didn't happen, bad things were going to happen to her career or to her as a person, maybe not physically, but to her career. If they pull that, I'm telling you, in today's world, society's going to look at that and say, yeah, he's a bastard. He was cheating on his wife, and he's 40. He thinks he's a big shot, and they're going to come down on him with the wrath of God. So now's the time to get everything out in the open, Matt, because the very first thing a good lawyer will tell you, and again, I've told people this before, early in my lifetime, when I was in high school, I wanted to be a lawyer. And I studied law very carefully and long. And I'm telling you, the very first thing a lawyer will tell his client is, regardless of what our story is going to be, I need to know the truth, every bit of it. Because I can't get out there and argue for you and then little facts come out that, oh, I forgot to tell you, yeah, I did do that. Because then I look like an idiot and I can't defend you. I need to know everything. And if Matt Riddle has a lawyer, and Matt Riddle did not tell that lawyer, eh, I kind of bragged about it to some guys, and now these guys are going to be on the stand saying, yeah, he bragged about it to me, that lawyer is going to be furious. I'd be furious. I tell him, you hung me out to dry. You lied to me. And you know what lawyers do when that happens, don't you? They shut down. They go to, Your Honor, it is what it is. You know, my client didn't feel he forced her, but, you know, in retrospect, you know, we accept the fact that she might have felt that way and we're willing to settle. That's what happens. Now, that's probably what will happen in this case, is someone will settle. And if that is the case, and there is a settlement, then you can probably rest assured that she was coerced and not forced, because if someone did that to me, I'm not settling for money. I want them in jail. Okay? Period. I want them to serve time. I want them to be a registered sex offender or whatever it happens to be, because the bottom line is money ain't going to solve the problem. So we'll see what happens with that. But again, this is another headache for the WWE that they do not need. They just don't need it. They're dealing with enough headaches right now with a pandemic crippling them. And I know people will say, oh, they're doing better than ever because of their, you know, earnings. Yeah, it's still crippling them. It's crushing them. You know what the Raw ratings were this week? 1.5. 1.5. One of the lowest ratings ever. And I know people are telling me, oh, well, NXT tanked and so did AEW. Yeah, but there was a vice presidential debate, and believe it or not, people watched that crap. That got actually pretty good ratings. Further proof from yours truly, who told you do not politicize wrestling. If you're a wrestler, you have a right to vote for who you want to vote for, and you have a right to support the candidate, and you have a right to voice your opinion privately. You do not have the right to make it a part of your business, because when you do, you isolate your fans. And if wrestling fans are not political, like some people suggested, how come they watched the vice presidential debate? That I'm a pretty political guy, and I barely wanted to watch it. Okay? I barely wanted to watch it. Because I knew it was going to be a boring crap fest. All right? So if wrestling fans tune into that debate above wrestling, then that is your signal, both AEW and WWE and NXT. Don't let your wrestlers politicize themselves. Tell them in your own personal life, in your own personal whatever, do what you want. You don't be tweeting as a character. You don't be, you know, saying things on air. You don't be saying things even off air as your character. We don't need it. We don't need to know who you're voting for. The fans don't need to know, because all you're doing is hurting our cause and our fan base. So we'll see where that takes people. I mean, you know, at this stage of the game, the WWE does not need this nonsense. Now let's talk a little bit about the draft, because some things have come up that it makes my head explode. I got the brackets for the draft. I don't know if they're official, so that's why I'm not going to read every name. But basically speaking, each night, a certain amount of people are on the line from both Raw and SmackDown. So tonight, there will be like 10 SmackDown people and 10 Raw people. And then Monday night, there'll be 10 more SmackDown people and 10 more Raw people. So in other words, tonight, you can't pick a certain person. You have to wait until Monday night to pick that person. It's not an open draft. It's not, I'll pick anybody I want. It's pick from this list. It's like a Chinese restaurant. Okay? Pick three from this list. Well, that's what it is. They have a list tonight. And you get to pick only from that list. And if the wrestler you want is not included in that list, then you maybe get to pick Monday night when they will be on the list or might be on the list. That's the way it's going to work. Now, to my shock and amazement, Monday night's list also leaked out. And if it's true, Retribution is on the list. Please explain to me why anyone in the world would draft a team dedicated to destroying the Federation. And please explain to me why Retribution would want to be on that list. This is so bad that it really makes me just want to throw my hands up in the air and scream. You've destroyed Retribution. Retribution is a joke. We are anti-establishment. We are the fight, the power, whatever. We're on the draft. I wonder where we're going to go. Are you kidding me right now? Retribution is on the list? And then you've got some weird things like Rey Mysterio and Dominic. You got to take them both. You can't just take one. Now, that would make sense if you were a tag team, a real tag team. Street Profits are on there, but you got to take them both. Heavy Machinery is on there, but you got to take them both. Which is a fact, by the way. Heavy Machinery, you have to take both. And we'll talk in a minute about how the WWE is apparently regretting giving Otis the Money in the Bank and trying to get it away from him. But the tag teams, I understand, but Rey and Dominic? Why? They didn't do that, by the way, with Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke are separate picks. So how committed are they to a tag team that they threw the Riot Squad under the bus for? Mike, it's really weird. I mean, if you look through this draft thing, you're like, why is Retribution on there? Why is Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke separate? But Ray and Dominic are together. It's just bizarre.
Right. It is bizarre, and that's the thing. Now, I don't get it, but one thing, just one little thing about the ratings, you know, yeah, the ratings were down for both shows due to the thing, but let's just focus on head-to-head with the both shows. Where are the ratings head-to-head? Basically, between they are leading, AEW is leading between 100 and 120,000. You know?
Yeah, and they've held steady with that for many, many, many weeks.
Yep. So NXT is still in trouble in my mind. And that's with that match. That's with, you know, forget about the injuries. Forget about the injuries. That's with the match. They keep putting on these good matches, but they can't get over the hump, you know? And that's the thing.
And we've talked about why, Mike, and the reason is your average person, not us, because we know all these people, but your average wrestling fan who just tunes into maybe Raw and SmackDown, you know, maybe not even one, maybe just one, not even the other, says, who in the hell is Kyle O'Reilly? And why am I devoting my time to watching a title match with them? Even if us hardcore wrestling fans, our diehard wrestling fans, we knew it was going to be a great match. So we're like, yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that match. But your average wrestling fan is saying, oh, I wonder what's going to happen with Dean Ambrose over there or Cody Rhodes, you know, names that you know. Names that you know. And right now we got a major problem in NXT, and that is they just don't have a draw. If they think Finn Balor is a draw, they have lost their mind. You know what that is like? Let me try to explain this. There are people who will go see a symphonic orchestra. Or let me take that out of the mix. There's people who will go see violinist, a concert violinist, skilled master of his trade, marvelous, Juilliard-trained musician. And maybe he'll draw a couple thousand people. There are people who will go see, you name a punk rock band, or you name a, you know, a rap artist or whatever. They barely know how to play. And 30,000, 25,000 people showing up. It's not about your skill level. That's what I'm attempting to tell you. People all the time say to me, I don't know why you shit on the match, Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor. You know that's going to be a great match. Yes, I do. I'm not shitting on the match. What I'm trying to tell you is it ain't going to draw because those people aren't popular enough. Okay? Go put a concert violinist in, I don't know, the Meadowlands and see if he fills the Meadowlands arena. He's not going to come close. Go put Justin Bieber in there in his peak. He'd fill it two nights in a row. You honestly think Justin Bieber is a better overall musician than that concert violinist? No, but it doesn't matter because the publicity machine is all about Bieber, okay? Well, guess what? That's the way with some of these other athletes, and Kyle O'Reilly's not one of them. Finn Balor, you could argue is, but I'd argue not even. He didn't light it up in WWE, believe me. So it's not like, oh my God, Finn Balor's on, we got to go see him. No. See, gone are the days when you say, tonight Randy Savage is fighting Hulk Hogan. And you're like, well, holy shit, man. Ultimate Warrior's fighting Randy Savage. Oh, damn. Got to be there for that. Andre the Giant's going to be fighting, you know, Hulk Hogan. Holy shit. Can't miss that. And now we're down to Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor. See the difference? It's not that AEW is so much better. There wasn't one match, not one, on AEW this week that was better than Kyle O'Reilly versus Finn Balor. Not one. Not even close. Doesn't matter. Was Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan a good match? Was that a great match? No. It was about the build. It was about the two people, their personalities, and the major clash of undefeated, supposedly, wrestlers. That's what WWE and all of wrestling thrives off of. And right now, AEW is doing a better job of presenting people that people care about. Does it make a difference to me if Finn Balor is the champion of NXT or Kyle O'Reilly is? No. Either way, we got a quality wrestler as the champion, so no, it doesn't make any difference to me. Whereas, Lance Archer and John Moxley. Yeah, of course it makes a difference because everybody hates Lance Archer. And they want Moxley to succeed. Cody Rhodes getting his belt back. Yeah, that makes a difference because everybody's rooting for Cody. You have people there that people are actually rooting for or against, as opposed to just saying it's going to be a good match, Todd. That's the difference.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like you said, it's not going to be a big draw with Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly. It's not going to fill the arenas up with seats. Oh, like you said, back then, you did. Now, this can't fill them up with these kind of matches, with these kind of people wrestling.
And you can't get the ratings. You're just not going to get the ratings, Mike, because they aren't large enough personalities to have that huge fan base that a Randy Savage or a Sting or Hulk Hogan or The Undertaker or any of those guys had.
Right. Here's something else. Even the lesser guy, even the less known guy, I don't want to say lesser, less known guy, you know, who knew MJF before he went on his run? You know,
right.
But people will tune in and see MJF when what's the guy that got suspended in AEW, a Spanish guy?
Oh, yeah. Sammy Guevara, yeah.
Yeah, when he comes back, and he's been back, but people tune in to see him. Whereas you can probably name on one hand, if that, the amount of people in NXT they will tune in to see, even the younger guy. You know, that's the thing. Yeah, you can have all the veteran guys, and I guarantee you, if you split, you know, the Fashion Police up, people will tune in to see a singles match between, you know, those two guys are a singles match between, because they know them. They know Fandango, and they know,
Right.
They know him, you know, and that's the thing.
And that's exactly why I'm saying, Mike, that right now NXT is the concert violinist of wrestling, and AEW is the rap artist of wrestling. Who's going to draw more? It's not about the skill. I mean, I could go see this concert violinist and say, look, I'm a musician. I know that he blows away anybody in, you know, this band or that band or any whatever. It doesn't matter. He's not going to draw. He's not going to draw because he doesn't have that publicity machine behind him, okay? You could go get a punk band who knows three chords. And that's all they play, you know, three chords back and forth all night long. And they could draw a ton. Whereas a concert piano player, violinist, cellist, whatever, draws nothing. Next to nothing. No one's arguing that they're not more skilled. We're arguing that they're not more popular. And that's my point. I'm not arguing that AEW's wrestlers are more skilled. They're not. I'm arguing that they're more popular, and they are. And that's as simple as that. And until you get people down there that are popular, that's why this draft should have included NXT. This draft should have included NXT. That way you could have said, wow, Kevin Owens is going to NXT. Well, that's a popular guy. Or, wow, Aleister Black's coming back to NXT. Well, that's a popular guy. You need, like we said in a previous show, you need to get some qualified, big-name talent into the NXT right now. Or just accept the loss and say we're going back to basically being a training ground for WWE and we don't care about the ratings. If that's the case, fine. If that's the case, that's great. That's kind of what made you a niche thing anyways. People were like, well, we're kind of scouting along with the WWE. Us fans are looking at these guys, and we may not know their names, but we're saying to ourselves, what's his prospect in the WWE? But the minute they said, well, that's not what we're doing anymore, then you have to be popular. Because now we're not scouting along with the scouts for WWE. Now we're actually just watching a show that you're telling us is another federation and has nothing to do with scouting talent. Okay, well, then you need some big names. You want to use the not so big names? You got to go back to being the training grounds where your pitch to the fans is, hey, fans, tune in with us and see tomorrow's stars today. Give us your opinion on who should be, you know, the blue chipper. Who's the next guy we should call up? Who's the guy who's got what it takes to make? Because then people feel like they're involved and they're like, I'm tuning in. I want to scout these guys. That's great. But when you take that away and say, no, that's not where they are anymore. Now we're a separate federation. Then you better have some big names. And you don't. Velveteen Dream crapped the bed. You've rode the Undisputed Era to death. How much more do you want Adam Cole to do? You've rode him to death. You rode Ciampa and Gargano to death. You took Keith Lee out of the mix. You took Matt Riddle out of the mix. You don't have a lot of people that people are tuning in to see anxiously. You just don't. So is AEW going to continue winning the ratings? Yes. Yes, they are. And the more names they add or the more names they create, you see what they've done, it was very clever. They brought up a few people that were big names. And then they started making their own stars with them as well. That way we say, well, we tuned in to see initially Chris Jericho and maybe Moxley. But then they added Matt Hardy and they added Luke Harper and they added, you know, Jack Swagger. And in the midst of times, we got hooked on MJF and Lance Archer and Sammy Guevara and Jungle Boy. They used that. They used the big names to draw you, hoping to catch you with their own talent. And that's what they did, Mike. And the WWE's NXT is not doing that.
That's right. And think about it. I mean, even to some extent, you can throw Britt Baker.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely could.
You know, yeah, you've got some good foreign wrestlers in there, but they needed that personality, and basically Britt Baker be Britt Baker, and there you go. That's what they've done, and that's what the WWE needs to do. But again, that would be what – to use one of their famous terms, what's best for business.
Yes.
But again, it just seems like, they don't want to do that anymore. And as far as your analogy with the guy with the concert violinist, a better analogy would be a concert violinist versus a country fiddler.
Yeah, well, same thing. As long as it's – well, no, I don't know if that's a better analogy because I think if there's just one country fiddle player, I don't know if he's going to draw more than a concert cellist. But I can guarantee you this. If AC/DC goes back on tour, they're blowing away any amount of people that will come to a concert pianist's event. And if you think that any of them are better musicians – and they're good musicians – but if you think that any of them are better musicians than a concert pianist, you're nuts. It just doesn't happen. But let me explain. One of the federations I was involved in used to do the following. I used to usually be the hardcore guy, so I would do the hardcore matches at the end of the night that would involve a lot of blood and barbed wire and glass and fire and that kind of stuff. And people would show up late to kind of see the train wreck. But then people would show up a little earlier to get a better seat to see the train wreck. And they would put a match before that match that was one of their feature storylines with other people. And pretty soon people would show up even earlier than that because then they started saying, well, I did come to see the hardcore match, but then I saw this angle and I kind of like this guy or I'm kind of interested in what's happening. And before you know it, they were showing up the minute the thing started and saying, I'm kind of into everybody. That's what AEW is doing. People showed up to see Jericho, showed up to see the stars, but they hooked you with their own people now. And now you're showing up to see them too. That is a great business model to follow in professional wrestling. It's almost like you're the opening band. And people say, I showed up, 10 minutes before that band went off. I never heard of that band. So I just wanted to see the main band. So I showed up 10 minutes before that band went off. But the last 10 minutes, they were good. So I went back and I looked at some of their, you know, stuff online, and I went and bought their album. And now I regret I didn't show up. And the next time they come, and I'm going to see them. See, that's how you hook them. People are here to see AC/DC. But the opening band, or the opening band for the opening band, there isn't such a big crowd. But what they're hoping is those people that are here will hear us and say, hey, they're better than I thought. I never heard of them, but I actually like them. Let me go check them out. Let me go, you know, buy their CD. Well, that's what AEW did. You were there to see John Moxley or Chris Jericho, but hey, in the mix was Moxley is going to team with this guy, and he happens to be a guy you don't know. And Jericho is going to team with this guy, happens to be a guy you don't know. But they get the rub from those two big names, Mike, and the next thing you know, you do know them, and you're tuning in to see them.
Right. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Who knew about Darby Allin?
Right, very few.
Yeah. Very few people. And then they give him a chance, and there you go. You know, who knew about Sammy Guevara? Who knew about MJF? Who knew a lot of these people? Who knew about Britt Baker, you know?
Right.
You know, who knew about the Japanese woman who's a champion over there?
Yeah.
I'm blanking on her name right now. But who knew about her, you know? And that's the thing. That's the way wrestling should work.
Yes.
You show up to see the big name stars. Oh, this guy's good. This guy can get the job done in the ring. This guy or gal can get the job done in the ring. This guy, you don't know her or him, but they're a five-tool player and they can get the job done. I mean, look at what happened when y'all saw Keith Lee.
Yep.
And your first reaction was what?
Yeah. Yep, that's right. We all said he's going to be big, and again, he wasn't even the main event that night. See, that's the deal. That's what independent workers do, the independent companies do. They say, oh, guess who we got tonight? We got Bob Holly is taking on Gangrel. And you're like, wow, I ain't seen either one of them guys in a long time. That'll be cool. Let's go see that. And then, oh, and also, before that match, Keith Lee is taking on, you know, JT Dunn. And you're like, well, holy shit, I never heard of either one of them, but wow. See, that's the deal. That's how you have to do this. So if the WWE was to say, look, this week on NXT, we've got, Kevin Owens coming down or Aleister Black returns to take on whoever, that's a big deal. And then if you wanted to say, we got Kyle O'Reilly facing Finn Balor, maybe people would tune in to say, wow, KO's over there, or wow, Rey Mysterio's over there, or wow, Seth Rollins has made his return over there. We got to watch that. And then the people who don't normally watch NXT would be like, I don't know who that Kyle O'Reilly guy is, but he was great. I got to watch him more often. See, that's how that works. But right now, the WWE doesn't have that guy. I guarantee you, if Seth Rollins went over there and said, I'm going to be over here for a month, and I'm working a storyline with whoever, people would tune in because they'd say, well, freaking Seth Rollins is over there, or Bray Wyatt makes The Fiend is over there. Anyone who would draw. And then you can start building up your guys and say, what about this guy? You like this guy? You like that guy? And you'll know by the ratings, wow, that worked. You got to hook them in. And the WWE is not hooking anybody in right now with their NXT roster. They're just not. They've got their steady fans. And that's why the needle isn't moving, Mike. That's why the needle stays at like 100,000 to 125,000 difference, because there is no more NXT fans moving the needle. The NXT fans remain. The ratings stay steady. AEW has a better chance of moving that needle, because they are doing what we're suggesting. They are trying to hook you in with top matches and top names, and then throw in a few guys that you might get interested in. Either way, tonight's draft is going to tell us a lot. Because you already know that if a champion gets drafted, it's very obvious. If somebody says, I take Drew McIntyre, Well, then I'm guaranteeing you that Roman Reigns is going. You can't have two champions on one show. It's not going to happen. Fox ain't going to allow that. USA is not going to allow that. And I'm already being told that WWE basically laid the names on the table to both of those networks and said, who are you interested in? Who would you guys be most interested in? So, I mean, the fix is in, as we know. Fox has made their decisions about who they would like to have on their show. USA has made the decisions about who they'd like to have on their show. There may be a couple of people that's based on politics backstage, like AJ Styles, who doesn't necessarily want to be around Paul Heyman. But aside from that, I think USA and Fox has the big say over who they're taking. But I think the rule would be you obviously can't take all the champions. Fox can't say we want the Intercontinental Champion, we want the champion from Raw, and we want the tag team champions from Raw. You can't do that. So it's got to be a give and take. So that's why I hope none of the champions change, because if somebody says we're taking Drew McIntyre, then I guarantee the other one's taking Roman Reigns. So there's no point in having the draft if you do that. My opinion is the champions should be untouchable. The champions should be, no, you can't take the champions. They are conducive to this brand and this brand only. Anybody except the champions is open. Not the champions, because, Mike, if you take the champions, well, let me go to Todd here. Todd, if you take the champions, you've wrecked the division.
I absolutely agree there. Like you said, you ruined the thing as a draft. The championship belts should just stay on the respective brands, like the Intercontinental belt.
Yep.
Like the Intercontinental belt, U.S. belt, the Raw tag belts, the SmackDown tag belts, the WWE championship, and Universal championship should stay where they're at.
I 100% agree with that, because it's kind of silly. Like, who would put your champion in a draft, Mike? They should be off limits.
Right, and furthermore, think about this. If they do that, they got a good storyline going with Roman Reigns and the Usos. You know, where does that storyline go if they do the switch with the champion? You know, I mean, really, it would mess things up. It would really mess things up if they did it that. And that's the thing. I believe that the WWE has made that point, will have made that point to USA and Fox, because it's not just, oh, we want this guy and we want this championship and that championship. No, it's got to be, what is the championship?
Right.
You know, what's the storyline?
And that's why we know they won't do it. That's exactly why I say it's ridiculous. It's not like, oh, they're going to take Roman Reigns away from his big feud. Of course they're not going to. Of course they're not going to. But then what company wouldn't pick Drew McIntyre? If I had my first pick and I'm SmackDown, why wouldn't I pick Drew McIntyre? Why wouldn't I pick him? That would be my first pick, obviously. So it doesn't make, in a lot of ways, the WWE's draft doesn't make sense. It should not be for the champions. And why are the women's champions in there? They can float from brand to brand, and yet they're in there. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax as a team is in the draft. Why? They can float from brand to brand. It doesn't make any sense. What idiot would pick them when you can still have them? So in a way, this draft is already illogical and ridiculous, but I am at least still looking forward to seeing who they pick. Mike, give you one guy you think is getting picked tonight.
You know what? Because they're going by themselves, I think Mandy Rose goes back.
That would be interesting. That would be a really quick visit to Raw. Todd, one person you think is going to get picked?
AJ Styles.
I think I'm going to agree with that. I think the fix is in on AJ. I think he has already said, great, I leave Raw to get away from Paul Heyman, and you send him to SmackDown. And I know AJ's aggravated anyway, and a happy AJ Styles is better for everybody, so I'm going to agree with that one. Guys, we will see you on Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.